Welcome to the Believe Again podcast. I am your host, Josh Robry, and I'm very excited to be talking to you this season about relaunches. So whether you want to relaunch your church, rebrand, revitalize, if you're looking for momentum, we want to give you some practical ways to do that and share some inspiring stories. And I'm going to be able to do that today with our guest, Pastor Tyler Harris from Awakened Church. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you with me to share your story with everyone. It's a story I've heard that I found very refreshing, very inspiring, because you got to a point where you realized you needed to do something different, and you did a hard reset for your church plant, is kind of how I would describe it, and you had tremendous results, and I just love the tenacity, the way that you were willing to put yourself out there and try new things to help your church be all it could be, so I commend you for that. But before we get into your story, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and your ministry journey?
Yeah, so I was kind of had a unique background. I was raised in a pastor's home, but my dad didn't start pastoring until I was 13. And so I got to be a normal kid and a preacher's kid. And my wife and I got married super young. I was 19, she was 18, and we jumped right into youth ministry at 19 years old. And I've been in full-time ministry ever since. You know, ministry is a little bit like the military. We've lived in six different states and served in a lot of different contexts, associate pastor, youth pastor, lead pastor. And then in January of 2022, we planted Awakened Church here in Cartersville. And that's where we are today, still living that church plant life, man, grinding and making it happen. So it's been a crazy journey, but God has been so good. And I have my wife, Kayla, and then we have three kids. We have a 12-year-old named Weston, 10-year-old named Easton, because I'm super corny and couldn't not name him Easton when my first son was Weston. And then we have a 4-year-old little girl, and her name is Blakelyn, and she is 100% the queen of our household. Like, she's a little miracle baby, and that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. But yeah, man, just living that life of church planner, pastor, dad, all the things.
Well, that's amazing. So you guys just celebrated 2 years?
Yeah, so we were 2 years in January. So we are in year three, but barely. So it's been crazy.
Okay, amazing. Well, we want to get into your story about your relaunch story, but why don't you help us paint a little bit of a picture of what your launch looked like and what was going on during that first season before you guys hit reset?
Yeah, we had, man, it was such a beautiful season for us during pre-launch, because the church that I was on staff at, it was like exactly how it should go. And it was such a refreshing thing. Our pastor was super supportive. It was amazing. We ended up, I think our launch team, when we launched, we were, I want to say like 47 was our number. I can't remember exactly, but, you know, it was, we launched strong. We felt really good about our launch team. We raised the money that we needed to raise and had good relationship with the school and had a great launch day. So we had 275 on launch day, which was unbelievable. I joke with people because, you know, ARC prepared us. They said 50% is going to leave after week one. And I'm like, y'all don't know me. I mean, I am the exception to the rule. Yeah, absolutely. 50% almost to, I think we had 150 week two.
Okay.
And so that's a unique feeling. Everybody's like, man, you had 275 people on launch day, which I know there's some churches that have way more, some churches that have way less. And I'm like, yeah, it was awesome, but it's highs and lows there, you know? And I think that's, if I could characterize church planning in anything, it's that it is extremely high highs and extremely low lows. Like it's this roller coaster, especially that first year of just, man, it's like whiplash. You're on top of the world some days, and then you're under a bus the next, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good point for me to jump in, because when I think 275, man, that's amazing. Congrats on having such a great launch day.
It was incredible. What's really funny is how smoothly launch day went. And to just give you context, we didn't have like professional musicians, professional sound guys. Like we had, it was all launch team volunteer, like, and everything went so smooth on launch day. It was like, this is awesome. And it was the grace of God, because week two, everything went wrong. Like
so sound, what went wrong week two?
Oh my goodness, man. We walk in and number one, the tracks will not play. Like because we're using tracks because we don't have a full band. Tracks won't play. So we're like, okay, let's download them. The Wi-Fi won't work, so we can't download them. So we try to connect to a hotspot. We're in North Georgia and we're like not rural, but we're right on the border of being rural. And so like we couldn't get enough signal to download the tracks. So that happens. Middle of my message, the screens just go off because the computer died for some. It was plugged in, just died. We don't know why. Just died. it was like, and in that moment, I'm like, okay, thank you, God, that this happened today and not last week on week one. You know, you don't want to come out the gate looking like that. So it was obviously all fixable issues, but it was a testimony to the grace of God that it all happened week two and not on launch day. So just an interesting, and it was like, okay, welcome to church planning. Now this is the real grind. You figure this stuff out on a weekly basis. So,
well, I'm very happy that happened week two. So that's some interesting perspective there, gratefulness and gratitude and contentment. So, I'm trying to remember how did I first come across your relaunch story? Did you reach out to me? Did I hear about something happening? How did we first come in contact about that?
So we reached back out to ARC. We had acquired our lease space. We're starting the renovations. And then our plan was to do a relaunch in January. And I really got the idea for relaunch. My ARC coach was Travis Jones. And so Travis, they essentially launch on every 9 months anyways, even though they're killing it. They launch in September. They launch mm-hmm. in February. They always do an event that is like a launch, even though they call it something different. And so even if we weren't in a bad place, that was already our plan. But as we had declined, and we'll talk about that. So we had declined in numbers and all that stuff. It was like, it became less of a, hey, that's a good idea, and became more of a, we have no choice. We have to do something to generate momentum. And I think that may be how we connected.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that. So whenever you guys were getting to that place, like what was it that told you like, hey, we have to do this? Like, you know, what were the factors determining that? And then how did you come to the conclusion? Like we need to do a reset.
I think for us, you know, just to be transparent, we were portable. And so as our team declined, the workload didn't. And so like we would have people that, and one of the beautiful things about our sending church that I mentioned was that we had people that came with us. But one of the downfalls to that is that as people get into a church plant, they quickly figure out this is entirely different than serving in an established church that's been there for, I mean, especially when you're portable, it's just, it's so much different. It's an entirely different experience. There's good about it and bad about it. But a lot of people would, they didn't love the setup tear down life. And so we had people that came with us, lasted for a month, 2 months, whatever, and then they would kind of trail off. And then we had, of course, our core that was, you know, they were there, they were in the trenches, like we're going to get this done. And I think for us, as that team declined, and just to be real with you, we didn't do our next steps well in year one. We didn't have a great, like we did the things, but we didn't do them consistently. We didn't do them effectively. We didn't communicate them well. And so there wasn't a lot of onboarding of new team members. And I mean, if I could attribute anything to why we declined, I would say that is it. Like we just didn't add team members. And if you don't add team members, you're not going to grow because you just can't. So as our team was trying to keep this same level of excellence with less people, Sundays were just really, really, really tough. I mean, they were long days. You got people that are on setup teardown, then on worship, in kids. I mean, they're pulling multiple duty and then going home. We're just all exhausted. And I could see that burnout happening. And that was it. It was like, I'm not going to just kill these people that are serving this vision that God gave me. And I'm not going to kill my family either, because that's the thing. We were right in there with them as well. My wife was setting up kids every week and, we're setting up we were a part of all of that. And so, selfishly we were like, we can't do this. I mean, this is a lot. And so we took our big leap of faith and, signed a lease to jump into a building that was, available. And the lease payment was quadrupling our monthly rent because our school was so cheap. It was unbelievably cheap. But I mean, like, to put real numbers to that, we went from $1,500 a month to $6,000 a month in one fell swoop while having decreased by over 100% in attendance. So by all business metrics, it was a terrible, terrible decision. And I can't even like, I can't even say that I'm such a great man of faith when I made that decision. My logic was this, like, we can either stay doing what we're doing and we can die slowly over the course of 2 years, 3 years, or we can really just go for broke and give it all we have. And maybe we die in 2 months. Like, I mean, really, that was, I was like, if we're going to die, I would rather die fast than slow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was reading through our text message thread, you know, after you did the relaunch and what was happening, you know, even since then, and some of the things that you were sharing with me. And I can't wait to get to that point where we talk about some of those things. So, you know, what I wanted to point out about your story, and the reason why I asked you to be on the podcast is because I think a lot of people, you know, see a decline to a point where it plateaus and it's like, hey, I can't do anything because I could lose everything, you know? And I think you got to a point where like, hey, this is not going well anyway. I'm not going to go down not doing what I think is the best thing to do. I'm going to go all in to try something different. And a lot of times when it's the person's leadership that needs to change, or maybe their approach of, you know, their own health or spirituality, you know, doing something like that is not going to work. But if you are someone who's healthy, prioritizing your family, treating people well, then, you know, maybe you do need to make a big shift, and you did that. So when you guys, well, let's get back to the numbers here a little bit. So what was your attendance before you moved into the lease space?
So we were averaging on Sundays, the number that I use a lot is I use the number 63 because we had two Sundays in a row that we had 63, but our average was right about 80, but we were having 63, including kids. And I specifically remember that number because the day we had 63 was the day that I announced to the church that in January, when we did our relaunch, we were going to two services and we were going to stay at two services. This was in December. We're going to two services in January when we relaunch. And when I said that, our auditorium seats 100. I think we had 36 people in there on that particular Sunday. And like, you could see it in, I had one guy who was like really a solid faith dude, like one of the core guys in our church. And he told me, this is after God did what he did. He was like, when you said that, I was kind of like, okay. I mean, I don't know what, and that, I mean, I knew, I think that's the thing that, when you're trying to be a person that casts vision, you have to be willing to sound like an idiot. Like, because vision is not what is readily evident. That's not vision. That's just sight. Vision is that I see more than who's in here. And so like I'm casting, we're going to have two services and we're about to reach our city and everybody's like, okay, well, where are they? Cause we've been doing this for a year and there's 30 of us in here. And we just said, we're going for this. We invested time. We invested money. We put everything into that and relaunched. We went from having 63 to leading into that January. When we got to our relaunch, we relaunched on January 23rd, which was one day and a year and a day after our original launch date. And we had 170 on our relaunch day. And throughout the rest of that year, we never dipped back below 142 on any Sunday. So literally within a month, we doubled our church and never went back down. And that is the grace of God, but also just like the sheer willingness to say, we're going to go for it. Like, I don't think there's anything extraordinarily special about us or our team or what I think it's just that we were like, we're not going to go down without fighting. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the moral and the mantra of our story is like, if we're going to go down, we're going to at least go down swinging.
Well, I love that attitude. And I think, you know, that kind of radical faith is what God rewards, and faith with action. So you took a lot of steps to see that, you know, faith vision become a reality. So I think if someone's listening to this, they might wonder, well, there must have been some other factor. I mean, how do you go from having 31 week to averaging, you know, 160, you know, a month later? You know, like, I don't, what you must have tapped into something that you're not telling us. So maybe talk about that a little bit. What do you feel like caused those people to come try your church and stick?
I think we obviously did the things that, you know, ARC would push, that we marketed, we did social ads, we did another mailer. We did everything that we did for launch Sunday. We did it again for relaunch. But the thing that we did differently, and I alluded to this earlier, is that we just made our next steps really, really, really clear. And we don't do the 4-week growth track. We do a 2-week growth track. Essentially, we do Party with the Pastor and Serve 101. So week one, first week of the month, we do Party with the Pastor. Week two, we do Serve 101. And then week three, you're serving on a team somewhere. So you can be brand new to you're on a team within 3 weeks. And that alone created a retention for us. And then we shifted our focus from how do we get more people here to how do we schedule more people on Planning Center? Because a metric that we figured out and I've used with our team a lot is, for us, the number was like 4.6, that if we can get somebody to go green on Planning Center, it accounts for 4.6 people in attendance. And so I told our team, if I could tell you, you could press a button and 5 people would come to church, would you do it? And everybody's like, I mean, obviously. And I'm like, well, because you can. Like, if you confirm on Planning Center, it equates to 4.6 people in attendance. And I don't understand how the math works, but it does. It just continually works. I know on Saturday if we're going to have a good attendance on Sunday, because I can see how many people have gone green on Planning Center, and it just keeps, the math keeps working. And so I think I would attribute a lot of our growth to just simply making better systems for retention in terms of getting people serving as quickly as possible, getting them on teams as quickly as possible. Because to me, I think teams serve as groups even in seasons that our groups aren't in session. Mm-hmm. The teams are a group within themselves. And so they've been great for getting people to plug in and have community, have relationships, as well as finding purpose and contributing. I tell people, when you start serving, this goes from being the church you go to being your church. And that's what we saw happen. And that's what we've continued to see happen. We've still had people leave. I mean, that's a part of it. We're a church plant, you know, there's still that turnover that we experience, but it's been entirely, entirely different since we made that shift.
Wow. Well, you know, I wasn't expecting you to talk about making next steps clear, but it's pretty evident that when you did that, another thing happened is that people connected relationally within your church because they were able to get on a team and right. Making that connection. It's funny, you know, just throughout my life, I've just experienced this from the time I was in youth ministry as a student to today, that, you know, we think people choose a church based off the preaching and the worship. A lot of times they're just picking it out of relationship, and where they feel connected and belonging, where they feel like they belong, you know, that's where they go, and they sit through some bad preaching and bad worship, you know.
Absolutely.
And so it's a great way of thinking of your whole process holistically. And I was looking at this text message you sent me after Easter. I hope you don't mind me sharing it. We can cut it if you want to later. And it says, our week after Easter was what blew my mind. We had 260 in the room. This is Easter last year, 19 more salvations and 23 baptisms. Fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji. Praise hands, praise hands, praise hands, praise hands. Clap, 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 clap.
I'm surprised I didn't throw a run in there, because I'm a Pentecostal kid. So I might have threw a running emoji in there after.
Come
as well.
On, Holy Ghost.
Right. That's right. Keys to my Honda. Shit about a Kia.
Yeah, there you go. That's awesome, man. Well, I think the reckless abandon you talked about, the hard reset, that's something that people just aren't willing to do. You took responsibility and made things different. And so if you were to talk to someone that said, hey, I'm in the same situation, I just don't know that I have it within me to do what you did. Or maybe they've been going for a long time and they just, you know, it's just becoming a drudgery that they're not able to get the momentum that they're looking for. What would you tell that person?
I mean, I think I think one of the reasons that we didn't cast blame and that we accepted responsibility is that as soon as you cast blame, you can't control the outcome. Like, accepting responsibility means there's still something that I can do about it. If I cast blame, that's out of my control. And so I think that's part of it. I mean, the other part, I mean, honestly, what made it really hard to blame ARC is at the same time that our church is declining, there are 20 others that are thriving. And so if you have 20 success stories and one that's not succeeding, there, I mean, odds are it's probably the responsibility of the one that's not succeeding to look in the mirror and one of two things. It's either, okay, this isn't what we're called to do, or we need to do something different in what we're called to do. And that was ultimately what our, I mean, we had those conversations. We had, I mean, me and my wife talked, is this what we're supposed to do? Did we just think this was a good idea? We were like, do we become a campus of another church? We had all those conversations. So I don't want you to think that we were just like, we're going to go. Like, no, we had those conversations. Those nights that it's like, man, this is not working. This is not what we thought we were getting into. You know, I get to preach 30 minutes a week, but the other, you know, 6 days, 23 hours and 30 minutes are worried about finances, worried about how are we going to make this. Like, and so I think we had those conversations, and that's what brought us to this place of relaunch. Is like, all right, Lord, you led us to this. I didn't plant this church because I wanted to plant a church. I'm going to be real with you. I didn't want to plant a church at all. That was not in my, I mean, like, I've always thought it was interesting for other people. That's really cool. Super glad that, you know, that's amazing. That's good for you, bro. You're doing fantastic. Right. Exactly. And so, but we could not get away from it, and God led us to do it. And so that's, you know, we're like, Lord, this is what you told us to do. So we're going to try one more time. I think about the lepers that are sitting outside the gate, and they're like, you know, we can just like sit here until we die, or we can go fight and die in the process. And because they went, as soon as they got up is when the battle was won. And I think that that's the story that we experienced. Like, obviously retention played a role, marketing played a role, but I think some of it was just the favor of God to say, if you'll try one more time, if you'll give me one chance. And that's the thing that I kept telling myself is like, this is not a failure until I quit. Like, it may be trending in that direction, but it is not a failure until I say this is over. And I think that was to me a mantra that I live by, that I still live by, because I'm gonna be real with you. We still, like I said, we still have people leave. We've seen the trends up and down, and we've settled at a much better place than we were pre-relaunch, but we've still had what we hit 200, kick back down to 150, get back up to 200, kick back down. So those things are still a reality, and that's going to be a reality. That's part of the culture we live in. That's part of, you know, planting a church, but the faithfulness of God has been so real. And I think to the person that is struggling with maybe it not going the way you thought it would, to the person that gets on Instagram and sees the guy that was in the ARC training with you that has 500 on Sunday and you had 50, I think to that person, you just have to know what God called you to do, and you have to give your very best to that calling and let God handle the rest, because that's the only thing that I can attribute our success to, is that we gave God our best and he did what only he can do with it.
Well, I think that's a great point to end this episode on, because I don't want it to be lost on anybody, or I don't want anyone to think it's lost on us, that we understand that this is God's blessing, that we can't wave a wand and see people show up. But what we can do is we can do our best with the tools we have available and allow God to bless that. And that's what he's done in your situation. Tyler, I just am so encouraged by your story. I know it's going to encourage so many other people. Before we hop off, why don't you tell everyone how they can stay in touch with you and share anything that you have coming up that you want them to know about?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at TylerHarris90. You can also connect with me on Facebook, and then you can connect with our church YouTube at Awaken Bartow. You can connect with our Instagram as well at Awaken Bartow. So thanks for having me, man. It's been a pleasure to share our story, and hope it can be an encouragement to somebody.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Appreciate you. And until next time, talk to you later.
Absolutely.
I want to thank my guest, Tyler Harris, for being with us today once again. I just so enjoyed his story of tenacity and faith, stepping out and doing something new to see his church become all that it can be. If you're also looking to get some momentum for your church, I want to encourage you to check out our sponsor, Visit Planner, at visitplanner.church. Brad, Zach, and their team at Visit Planner did an amazing job of utilizing digital ads to see people plan visits to attend your church. The results have been phenomenal. I love them as friends, and I'm so excited to have them as a sponsor on this season, so go check them out. Also want to take a second and let you know that if you're looking to get some coaching and consulting, I'd love to help you out. You can email me at josh@believeagain.co to get a conversation started about that. Over the past few years, I've been able to help some churches and basically act as a strategist, sounding board, part-time executive pastor for some folks to help their church reach more people, even do a couple relaunches in there. And we'd love to have a conversation with you if you think that is a fit for you. I want to just again thank you for taking time for being with us today. Can't wait for you to join us next time. Until then, keep believing and leading strong.